This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is Saturday Magazine.
And you're listening to Saturday Magazine this morning with Macca and myself, Tass.
Yes, we're continuing our discussions with people that really advocate and represent our community. Anna Brown is the Director of Legal Advocacy at the Human Rights Law Centre, and I'm sure you won't be offended, Anna. I'm going to call you a daikon.
I think you've called me that before.
I think I have. I reckon it's a great word, a daikon. It's fantastic.
I like it. It sounds like some kind of exotic fruit.
It does. Well, it is.
It does,
there
actually.
Actually, it sounds like something out of science fiction. Anyway, something that isn't fiction is the inquiry chaired by Philip Ruddock into religious freedoms. You've made a representation to the committee, Anna, and we're keen to know what you said, what the Human Rights Law Centre said, but also your feel about how the committee process was, and do you have a feel for what you think that the outcome might be?
Sure. Well, I mean, one of our key messages to the panel when we met with them was that we really do have outdated laws that allow religious organisations to discriminate against LGBTI people, but also single mothers, pregnant women, in a whole range of scenarios where we think that's out of step with current Australian values and obviously the principles of fairness and equality. And the sorts of exemptions that exist in our laws that allow this discrimination to take place really do cause damage to our community. They allow for discrimination, but they also mean that LGBTI people, for example, self-select away from many essential sort of social and welfare services when it's a faith-based provider, because they do fear discrimination, that they won't be welcome, that they won't get the same level of service as a straight or cisgendered person. So we made those arguments, and when we met with the panel, we also invited Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria along. So Liam Leonard was there, and also Brenda Appleton from Transgender Victoria.
Great.
To talk about the work that they were doing, the sort of the social and health research, because I think none of the panel members, are part of the LGBTI community, and most of them have legal or political backgrounds. So it was really important for us that they understood, all of that work that GLHV has done around how school is a very dangerous place for young people, how LGBTI people face harassment, face poorer mental health outcomes, and the work that Transgender Victoria has done with aged care providers around inclusive LGBTI services. And the fact that most faith-based providers, as far as we can tell, want to do the right thing. They want to provide quality health care. So we have these outdated, unfair laws, and we have a sector mostly that wants to not have the ability to discriminate. So we think there should be some reform here, but I'm not hopeful that we'll get that from the panel.
Anna, it's Tass here. Could you give us an example of one or two of those unfair laws, ones that are particularly meaningful?
Sure. Well, it really is the fact that we have discrimination protections for our community, but then they're undercut by the existence of what's called an exemption. It's whether it's the federal discrimination protections for LGBTI people or the state ones. We have both. They both have broad exemptions that say that religious organisations can discriminate when it accords with their religious beliefs, when it's necessary to do so. So those exemptions that we're really focused on. But the inquiry, of course, deals with a whole range of other things as well. And the reason for the inquiry, as people may remember, was the debate around the Marriage Act reforms last year. And we're concerned that certain groups will be using that as an opportunity to relitigate some of those arguments and the sorts of hostile amendments to the Dean Smith bill that were put last year might be sort of put again in this inquiry. So it's mainly, in my view, an exercise to make sure we don't see any further regression, because that's the risk here, that we might, you know, having achieved marriage equality, that there might be some steps backwards that affect all of us, and we need to be really careful about that.
How do you feel your submission was received by the committee?
Well, it's hard to say. First of all, we only had two of the five panel members at our meeting, which I was a little disappointed about. But in fairness to Philip Ruddick, it was, you know, Philip Ruddick was there, and also Nicholas Aroney, who's a Queensland legal academic who's written about the balancing discrimination laws and religious views. And I think it's fair to say that his view is not our view, and he thinks discrimination laws already go too far in promoting the right to equality over religious freedom. So of the panel members, those two, I think, are the ones to convince. But we also have Father Frank Brennan, who's a, people may know, is a Jesuit who ran the National Human Rights Consultation a few years ago, and is generally a supporter of human rights and a supporter of equality. And former federal court judge Annabel Bennett and the current president of the Human Rights Commission, Rosalind Croucher. But we only had two panel members there, and because the meetings aren't recorded, there's no transcript or Hansard, it was really just a chance to talk informally with the panel and try and persuade them, which, I mean, it was a constructive discussion, but it's, I don't know, for example, you know, we wouldn't have had any impact, I don't think, on the three people that weren't there, but I assume the secretariat were making notes.
Anna,
we'll be talking about all of the hearings and all of the outcomes.
Anna, you mentioned that there was no record or transcript kept of the meeting itself. There have been some concerns expressed in our community about the transparency associated with this piece of work, and whether submissions would be made publicly available, as they generally are with many of many government inquiries such as this. Are you able to shed any further light on some of those claims?
Well, yeah, there was a bit of debate about the submissions are being made public now. I think they received a huge number, I think the figure was around 16,000, so actually quite an extraordinary number of submissions. And so the government's said that the panel will be making those public. I think a lot of it to do with, it's not a parliamentary committee hearing, so that's the usual type of hearing where you go and you present and there's a ready sort of secretariat and Hansard service that makes sure that all of, you know, the hearings they're broadcast, it's like a session of parliament. So all of those resources, I assume, aren't available to this panel, and they haven't had the resources to do all of that. So the meetings are in private, which means that we don't have a good sense of what they're hearing from the other groups. But it also means, the way it was explained to us was that it was a chance to really to sit down informally and try and explain the content of written submissions and try and have a conversation about that with the panel, free of the constraints of being. Of knowing that you're having every word transcribed, but there's plus and minus either way. But yeah. I think it is difficult when we don't know what's being said in the other meetings, and it certainly makes it really hard for the public and for people like yourselves who are trying to follow this from the media's perspective to really know what is how it's travelling and what are the themes that are emerging and where the panel members are. Thinking is out at this point.
I suppose one thing that I recall during the whole marriage equality discussion and then the postal survey was the Prime Minister, who's actually called who asked Philip Ruddick to chair this inquiry and set it up. The Prime Minister said that religious freedom was more important to him than marriage equality. So, you know, without prejudging, far be it, prejudging the outcome, the Prime Minister set the inquiry up, and he's on the public record as saying that he thinks religious freedoms are more important than marriage equality. Now, obviously, he would probably want to explain that if he ever finds the time to speak to us. But does this apply? Obviously, it does, Anna, to all religions. But you mentioned earlier that it isn't. You know, it's not just our community that's impacted by this. That a lot of different communities, I assume, are making representations to this committee.
Mm. And one of my concerns is, and I did reach out to other groups that I thought would be interested and should be making submissions. But again, it was early in the year when they were due, so many people were away, on taking a well-earned break. But so I reached out to women's groups, legal experts, and tried to encourage other people to make submissions. I've certainly tried to encourage the panel and the secretariat to make sure they're hearing from, say, intersex groups as well as LGBT groups, because they're quite different and unique challenges and considerations there, because intersex people, there's not the same sort of religious doctrinal basis for having a discriminatory view against intersex people. So that's quite a unique perspective. And certainly, I also encourage them to get up to the Northern Territory and speak to groups up there, and I think they have made it up to Darwin at least to meet with people up there, because the perspectives of Aboriginal people are really important in this discussion as well. And we live in a more secular society now, that the numbers of people that identify as from a particular faith are lessening according to last census. So what I hope this review would be doing is making sure that we develop, and it's a legal review, they're only looking at legislative reform and the impact of our laws, making sure that our legal system is a balanced and coherent framework that actually allows people to practice their faith peacefully and respectfully, but also allows people freedom from religion and the ability to practice and live their lives in a way that's not interfered with by other religious views. So I think most Australians would agree with this is the society we, for the most part, have already, and we want to be able to promote. And apart from those laws I spoke about earlier, for the most part, we get it right, I think.
Yeah. Anna, obviously we need to have you back on air to talk further about this. It's obviously an issue that's not going to go away. And hopefully at some point there will be some feedback from the panel that we can look at. So I hope you can be available to join us again at some point in the near future.
Well,
we've run out of time, unfortunately, so we will have to move on. Any closing remarks from you before we do sign off?
I'm really glad that Joy's watching this review carefully, because I think it's something that we should be concerned about. We're certainly watching it closely, and the report at the moment is due at the end of March, but I wouldn't be surprised if they do extend that out. So certainly let's stay in touch and make sure that we don't see all of the gains of last year sort of unwound through this process, because what we learned last year is that Australians do believe in equality and fairness, and I think that really has to stand.
Great.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Anna Brown, Director of Legal Advocacy, the Human Rights Law Centre, and one of our community DICONs. Great to speak to you, and we'll have you back real soon. You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is John Borghetti, the CEO of Virgin Australia. Just like Joy 94.9, we are flying high and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.